Chapter 46, The Temptation to Speculate. Satan has destroyed many souls by leading them to place themselves in the way of temptation. He comes to them as he came to Christ, tempting them to love the world. He tells them that they may invest with profit in this or that enterprise, and in good faith they follow his dictation. Soon they are tempted to swerve from their integrity in order to make as good bargains for themselves as possible. Their course may be perfectly lawful, according to the world's standard of right, and yet not bear the test of the law of God. Their motives are called in question by their brethren, and they are suspected of overreaching to serve themselves, and thus is sacrificed that precious influence which should have been sacredly guarded for the benefit of the cause of God. The business which might be a financial success in the hands of a sharper who will sell his integrity for worldly gain, would be entirely inappropriate for a follower of Christ. All such speculations are attended with unseen trials and difficulties, and are a fearful ordeal for those who engage in them. Circumstances often occur which naturally cause reflections to be cast upon the motives of these brethren, but although some things may look decidedly wrong, these should not always be considered a true test of character. Yet they often prove to be the turning point in one's experience and destiny. The character becomes transformed by the force of circumstances under which the individual has placed himself. A dangerous experiment. I was shown that it is a dangerous experiment for our people to engage in speculation. They thereby place themselves on the enemy's ground, subject to great temptations, disappointments, trials, and losses. Then comes a feverish unrest, a longing desire to obtain means more rapidly than present circumstances will admit. Their surroundings are accordingly changed, in hope of making more money. But frequently their expectations are not realized, and they become discouraged and go backward rather than forward. This has been the case with some, and they are backsliding from God. Had the Lord prospered some of our dear brethren in their speculations, it would have proved their eternal ruin. God loves his people, and he loves those who have been unfortunate. If they will learn the lessons which he intends to teach them, their defeat will in the end prove a precious victory. The love of the world has crowded out the love of Christ. When the rubbish is cleared away from the door of the heart, and it is thrown open in response to the invitation of Christ, he will come in and take possession of the soul temple. Deceiving enchantments and bribes. Now, in probationary time, we are all on test and trial. Satan is working with his deceiving enchantments and bribes, and some will think that by their schemes they have made a wonderful speculation. But lo, as they believe that they are rising securely, and are carrying themselves loftily in their selfishness, they learn that God can scatter faster than they can gather. Misleading prospects. Many have conscientiously loaned their money to our institutions, that it may be used to do a good work for the master. But Satan sets in operation schemes that will produce in the minds of our brethren a great desire to try their fortunes, as in a lottery. One and still another are flattered by strong representations of financial gain if they will only invest their money in lands, and they take their means out of our institutions, and bury it in the earth, where the Lord's cause is not benefited. Then if one is successful, he is so elated over the fact that he has gained a few hundred dollars, that he decides to keep on getting money if he can. He continues to invest in real estate or in mines. The device of Satan is successful. In the place of increased funds flowing into the treasury, there is withdrawal of means from our institutions, in order that the owners may try their fortunes in the mining business or in land speculation. The spirit of greed is fostered, and the naturally penurious man begrudges every dollar that is called for to be used in the advancement of the cause of God and the earth. Speculation by ministers. We are nearing the close of time. We want not only to teach present truth in the pulpit, but to live it out of the pulpit. Examine closely the foundation of your hope of salvation. While you stand in the position of a herald of truth, A watchman upon the walls of Zion, you cannot have your interest interwoven with mining or real estate business, and at the same time do effectually the sacred work committed to your hands, where the souls of men are at stake, where eternal things are involved. The interest cannot safely be divided. This is especially so in your case. While engaged in this business, you have not been cultivating heartfelt piety. You have had a feverish desire to obtain means. You have talked to many about the financial advantages to be gained by investing in lands, and again you have been engaged in picturing the advantages of these enterprises, and this while you were an ordained minister of Christ, pledged to give your soul, body, and spirit to the work of the salvation of souls. At the same time you were receiving money from the treasury to support yourself and your family. Your talk was calculated to draw the attention and money of our people away from our institutions and from the business of promoting the Redeemer's kingdom on the earth. Its tendency was to beget in them a desire to invest their means where you assured them that it would be doubled in a short time, and to flatter them with the prospect that they could help the cause a great deal more by so doing. To avoid worldly entanglements. Especially should the minister keep himself from every worldly entanglement, and bind himself to the source of all power, that he may represent correctly what it means to be a Christian. He should cut loose from everything that would in any way divert his mind from God and the great work for this time. Christ expects him, as his employed servant, to be like himself in mind, in thought, in word, in action. He expects every man who opens the Scriptures to others, to work carefully and intelligently, not exercising his powers unwisely, in a way to injure or overtask them, but so that he may be fitted to do good work for the Lord. Speculating in land near our institutions. I was instructed to bear a testimony to our brethren, telling them that they must guard themselves against unfair speculation in connection with the purchase and sale of land near the school property. Every transaction in buying and selling must be characterized by strictest integrity. Selfishness must not be indulged. The principles for which our school shall stand, and which are to be taught the students as part of their education, are to be cultivated and revealed by those who closely connect themselves with the school interest. They must not, by efforts for personal gain, counterwork the principles of Christian education for which this school is to be established. Day by day we are making our record for time and for eternity. Let every action be just and square, in selling as in buying. Let nothing of an overreaching character be brought in, for that would discourage our brethren and displease God. Large sacrifices have been made by the people in our churches in order that this property might be secured for our school. Let not those who secure advantages for themselves take unfair advantage of their brethren who may need to settle near the school. Some who have the spirit of speculation should be discouraged from coming too, because they would not be a blessing to the school, but a hindrance. Let us remember that we are standing in review before God, and that every unfair action to serve self is recorded against us in the books of heaven. Oh, I entreat our brethren to put away the spirit of commercialism. I pray that none may gather about the school whose chief purpose is to advantage self. Let all seek to excel in spiritual things, that the ambitious spirit may be changed to a spirit of unselfishness. This change must be wrought in us if we would be wholly approved of God. The lure of lotteries. Then there is some lottery business connected with it, and one young man that goes there obtains a gold watch. What then? The watch may be genuine gold, it may be no fraud, but there is a fraud back of that, and that is the snare. If he has gained this once, he will want to try it again. Oh, I would rather, if it had been a son of mine, have him lying in his coffin then sporting that gold watch. Then, here are other boys. He shows his watch to them, and then there is a niching with them to try their luck in just the same way, and so they will attempt this matter themselves. Then another will attempt it, and another, and so the influence extends from one to another, and the devil knows just how to play his game.